Welcome to the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. My name is Bhairav Patel.
And I'm Alan Clark.
And today we're going to be talking about, what you need to know before you start a business, right? So I think a lot of people, when they are starting a business, they don't necessarily know the full ins and outs and the day-to-day things that you actually have to deal with. And not just those, but also just generally what it is like running a business. And what we wanted to do today was help people who are thinking about starting a business understand the real practicalities of running it, and what you should, in a sense, what we would have liked to have known before we started the business. So, Alan, do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think this is in that year where some people might be in the throes of rush in with no idea of what they're letting themselves forward to. And then at the other end, there's those who investigate so clearly and terrify themselves with all the potential consequences of starting a business. And in the middle is really the sensible ground. You can absolutely over-research it and put yourself off ever making a step forward. And equally, there are so many people I've seen that have rushed headlong into situations and been eaten up by the environment that they found themselves in. So just having some sight, some insight into what people that have done it have learned about what's required to succeed, I think is vitally important. So, and this one, the first one I would say comes down to really my background in marketing and what I would call customer-centric business. And that is that whatever you do is not about you. It's not about your skills. It's not about your thoughts. It's not about your ideas. It's all about the customers that you will serve. Whatever business you do must have a clearly defined customer base who have got a problem, a need, or a want that your business is going to satisfy. And if you're not clear at the kickoff as to who it is that will buy your product or service because it addresses a problem, need, or want that they have, you haven't got an idea you should proceed with.
All right, so for the audio listeners, I realize this is not going to be the greatest thing for you, but we're going to create a whiteboard here for the people watching this on YouTube, and we're going to write down all the things that we believe you should know before starting a business. So number one, would you paraphrase that as actually having product market fit? Or
well, that's where it leads to. You know, that's once you have developed your business, once you are in the activity of doing it. So before you start, you need to know that it is about customers. It's not about you. And then one of the first really essential bits of validation is going out and getting some evidence that there are actually customers out there who will actually buy your product. So we might call that market validation. You might call it product market, but there's all sorts of terms for it. But it's simply understanding that even you may have developed or you may have an idea that is about developing a better mousetrap, but if nobody's interested, you will never have a business. So it's not about you and your ability and your thought. It's actually about the people that will buy it. So it has to address, as I say, a problem, which are those big demanding issues in life that have to be sorted, a need which is not as demanding as a problem, but it's something that is a great motivation to. But equally, it might just be a want. You know, I've just bought a pizza oven. I had no problem that I needed a pizza oven for. I didn't have a need for a pizza oven because I could put a pizza in my oven in the kitchen. But I wanted a pizza oven. So I've just spent £500 on a pizza oven. But that is all about the people that were developed that business understanding very clearly there's guys like me who want to be able to make restaurant quality pizza at home. And you know what? It's a leisure activity. So that's a great insight. These people knew that it was all about their customers, not about them, but what they delivered was a product that people would actually buy.
Now I want to come up to Glasgow and eat some pizza. So
well, you know what, mate? It's not up and running yet, but hold on, that might be the next new thing. In fact, there's a really bizarre sideline. An old pal of mine from school is now selling pizza out in the back garden. He built a pizza oven, 15, 20 miles from where I live in Glasgow. And every weekend he does it. And he makes money, but he doesn't do it for the money. He says he just loves being out, making it, and seeing the response that people get. This is maybe in this day and age we call it a side hustle. But for Jamie, it's about love and passion and enjoyment.
That's fantastic. So I think this, what you're saying, it's all about you. It's about your customers. This, and then obviously trying to find them product market fit. This resonates with obviously what I did with Avrium. You know, we initially went out and made sure that the market wanted what we were trying to produce. However, and as you well know, Alan, the market doesn't always tell the truth. So I think what is interesting, and I guess somewhat, in the spirit of knowing what would you know before you start a business? Like we did everything right. We went out and did the surveys, got the proof that people wanted this, that there was a market for it. And then when we went out to the market, we found that actually trying to sell what we wanted, even though people wanted it, was much harder than we initially thought, even though there was a market for it. Because for many, many different reasons, type of industry we're trying to sell into, the type of people that you're trying to target, the slow move, like the slow nature of that business. I think that's something that people should be aware of as well before they start that. So yes, you might have something that is fantastic and you think it's great and people say they want it, but with the reality of the situation when you're going to market may be very different. I think that's
I think that ties in with something I'll mention later on. But what you should know is that the business, there's no such thing as a sure thing. No matter how well you research it, no matter how good your insight, it's a world of a difference between an idea and an established business. There's a million things you've got to go through.
So this fits in nicely with my first item, which is choose the business that's right for you. So
absolutely.
I think what I have seen working with many startups and even starting businesses myself, right, is that if you're not truly into it and you're not really, I hate the word passionate, but if you're not really behind it 100%, then it's not worth doing at all. The second bit about that, second aspect of this is also don't try and do something that's way out of your league, your comfort zone, your skill set. You know, try and stick to things that are in what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't shoot for the moon and try and do, you know, things that are, you know, completely left field. But if you have a grounding in that industry or that business that you're wanting to start, it'll give you so much a head start. And I see so many people trying to, you know, they'll go into marketing and then they're maybe a marketing expert and then they'll go into something completely random. Now, unless you're a great baker on the side and producing cupcakes and a great marketing your cupcakes, you know, that's a great one. But if you want to start suddenly building cars, that's a very different, that's a different proposition. And I think I see sometimes people choosing businesses which are a little bit too far out of their zone, which means that, you know, they're not able to adapt because they haven't got the experience in that business to adapt to the market that's there in front of them. So I think that is very important.
So how does that fit with true innovation? People that are doing radical new things.
So I think actually another thing that I wanted to point out in here is that some of the guys I've seen the most successful people are ones who are solving problems that they themselves face. So it may not be the fact that, so I guess it kind of, I hope I'm not contradicting myself, but I've seen people who created businesses solving a challenge that they face. Like TransferWise is a very good example, right? Of a business that was solving a practical problem that two people had. One guy was living in Europe, the other guy was living in the UK. They were being paid, but they had debts in opposing countries, right? So the guy in Europe, living in Europe, had to pay a mortgage in the UK, and the guy in the UK had to pay a mortgage in Europe. So they just themselves just paid each other's mortgages off, right? Instead of transferring the cash across because it would cost them too much. And so out of that was born TransferWise. Now, I'm not saying that they had expertise in the industry, but they had an expertise and an understanding of the problem. Right.
Yeah.
And they were able to build that around it. So again, I guess when I'm saying choose the right business for you, it's choose the right problem for you, I guess, in a way is where right. I'm trying to get out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I may put a different slant on it slightly. I think absolutely, if you're not doing something that you are into, that you've got the energy to get up, then presume there'll be days when it's really, really, really hard, when things are not going well. And if it's your business, nobody gets out of bed in the morning other than you. So you have to be doing something that you care about or passionate about, that you are invested in. And I do think, though, that there are those, and I would put myself in this book, who feel that knowledge and expertise is a fundamental building block. So do something that you have knowledge and expertise in, which is why in Team Rock, what interested me about that was not that it was rock music and not that it was digital. It was fundamentally, it was a marketing challenge. And I just spent 20 odd years building up 20 odd years of experience and knowledge around marketing. And I thought I can apply that in this business. There are also those other people who are, I believe, natural inventors, who may recognize a problem and have no idea how they're going to solve it, other than know that they are creative, innovative, whatever the appropriate terms are, that they will go and find the right answer for it. So I think that's two different kinds of approaches to it. And maybe there's a bit of it this, which is you need to understand yourself before you enter a business to know why it is you're doing what you're doing.
So if we dive a little bit deeper into that, what do you need to understand about yourself before you start that business?
I think it's probably some of those core, not psychometrics, but all that good stuff that you do with HR departments when you join a big firm and you try and work out if you're a secret psychopath or not, but actually understanding what your motivations are, what your skills are, what your drivers are, what it is you bring into a situation, whether you're in that colour chart, bright reds or blues or whatever it happens to be, and then playing with what you're good at. Because that means you will be bringing to the business the very best of you, not a poor second version.
And I think that kind of in a way fits in with my point number two, is that I'm a full believer in working on your strengths, right? So if you know your strengths, go fight. If you don't, go fight, figure out what they are. But once you understand your strengths, go and do more of that thing that you're strong at, right?
Yeah.
And find the people around you who can help you with the things that you're not so good at.
Well, that leads into the second point I had written down, which is before you start what you need to know, you need to know that you don't know everything. You don't know it all. And you're best to then recognize where the gaps are in your knowledge or skills, and then look carefully to bring in people to bridge those gaps. And that might be in a technical area, or it might be in some other area of the business. And by that, what I mean is, in the early days, in my example, what I needed to know was, while I did the financial plan, the financial model for the business, I simply did not have the skills to develop that into a model that was fit for purpose for our investor. So I recognised that, and I went out and I found a qualified accountancy practice, wonderful guys at BDO in Glasgow, who helped me take what I had and put it into a format, and add a lot of technical knowledge around what I had. So that when we gave that to an investor, they said, well, this all speaks our language. Now all we're going to do is work out if the content is sensible. So that was an example of something we did really early on, But equally, in so many aspects of that business, when we were starting up, we said, we don't know about this, because we don't know it all. We're just going to have to go and find someone that can help us. And thankfully, there are lots of people out there that do that. And, you know, arguably, Barab, that's what you're doing now. And it's what I do in my day-to-day life. I help businesses bridge gaps.
Definitely. And I think one of the key things here is don't be afraid to delegate. I think human beings are generally very bad at delegation, and delegation is actually a skill that you need to learn and actually practice. And I think that's what I find quite interesting. It's not even solely an entrepreneur thing, right? It's something that is people need to be able to do in their own jobs, on their own day-to-day jobs. Understand what you can delegate and don't be afraid to let things go. I think what you see a lot of in startup founders, and you know, to some extent, you do need to do things. This is kind of my next point, is that you do need to learn things, right? You shouldn't be afraid to learn new things and do new things, but you should also know that, understand, is it actually the best value for my business if I go off and do the X, Y, and Z things? Like, you could have hit your head against the business plan for ages, but actually you pay someone to go and make it look nice for you. Ultimately, what you know you're getting there is that A, you're not wasting your time doing it. B, you've got someone who's good at what they're doing, has done it many times before doing it. And you know, when you're putting it in front of investors, you're not going to, you're less likely have gaps and cracks in it. So that will generally, your business plan, you're not going to have that many gaps in it. So you'll be able to be confident that what you're planning is actually correct, right?
Yeah. And that, you know, you're also, as the business grows, you're not going to have the capacity to do everything in the very early stages, where you're unlikely to have a big enough team, enough resources to delegate lots of stuff. But as your business grows, nobody can do it all. You have to be able to pass responsibility sometimes for things that are very close to your heart to other people. You know, your baby doesn't stay a baby that you can look after for long. At some point, as they go to nursery or school, and other people are looking after it as well. So my next point that I would throw in, that entrepreneurs or business starters need to know before they kick off, is it is absolutely essential that you have a plan. Without a plan, you're on the road to nowhere. You know, as Dwight Eisenhower said a very long time ago, plans are useless, and that reflects that it will not turn out like you have a plan, that the plan suggested, sorry, but it is the act of planning that will allow you to think about the situations and scenarios you may find yourself in. So if they do arise, you have already done the thinking. So have a plan, and you can develop that plan and evolve that plan, but without it, it's like wandering off into the jungle without a compass. Vastly unlikely you'll ever end up at the destination you're ending up.
And I think, again, you've made some important points there. One is that plans aren't static. They will change over time as you see developments within not only your business, but within the market itself. But also, don't spend too much time trying to detail every single element of the plan, because you can overplan to some extent as well, right?
Well, absolutely. And you know, that's where sometimes it's better to think of it as a route map rather than a detailed plan. You know, when I'm doing work with companies, I use a graphic I really like, and it's a mountain range. And what I say to them is, your job strategically is to pick which mountain you want to climb and then work out your route to that mountain. Don't worry about every step you're going to take, but work out that we're going to go round that valley, up that hill, over that pass, and then we'll get to the mountain. And then at least you'll be able to keep an eye further ahead and work out what's coming in the next stage of the journey. You don't have to worry about that last 100 yards up to the peak of the mountain right now. There's plenty of time to get ready for that. But you do need a route map to watch out what kind of things are likely to be required if you're going to succeed and get to where you want to get to.
And I think this chimes in with the conversation we were having before the podcast around it. So at Atom at the moment, we're implementing OKRs, which are objective key results, and you can go and find all this kind of information on the net. But what was important for me in implementing this within the organization is A, you need to have a focus. So planning gives you that focus. It gives you the objectives, but also it allows you to define the key results, right? So the KR bit of the OKR is key results. And what that means is that you're creating measurable results, that, you know, things that you can sit there and say, did I achieve this? Yes or no? Or have I achieved it 50% or 80%? And once you achieve all these key results, you should have achieved your objective. But the idea was that when I was talking to the team about it, so we know that what we need to measure, so like we know what our goals are from a measurability perspective. Like it could be adding 500 users to the website, or, you know, hitting an extra 10,000 revenue, whatever it is. We know that these are the clear measures that we're trying to achieve. How we do it is completely open to us. And the idea being is that it's not that there is a set path to achieving this result, but we've got to go and now figure out all the different things we can do. So it allows you, it gives you the certainty of these are the things we're going for, but the flexibility of how to get there. And I think that's quite important.
Well, that looks at the same sort of notion of short-term, medium-term, and long-term planning. So long-term planning is directional only. You know, it's about that's what we're aiming for. But short-term planning is what we're going to do tomorrow and the day after. And we have to be really clear on what that is. And as long as short, medium, and long-term are aligned, by a natural progress, you will end up where you want to end up.
Exactly.
And the reason we're called managers is we have to manage all the stuff that goes on in the meantime. You know, it will not, as Eisenhower said, it will not turn out like you planned, but it's the act and the process of thinking about it, considering your options, strategizing, and then managing it all that will mean you will succeed in the end.
And as Mike Tyson said, you know, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the head. So you obviously have to make sure that whatever plan you have, okay, be prepared that it might not go to plan, and you need to then improvise.
Yeah.
So what's the next on your list?
Next on my list is know your numbers inside out. And that's maybe a little bit harsh before you start a business. That is more about when you're up and running in business, how important it is to know the numbers inside out and back to front. So before you start, you have to remember that this is a commercial undertaking. And the simple reality is, if income isn't greater than outgoings, it won't last very long. And that, of course, doesn't mean that every business has to be hugely profitable, but it just simply means you have to make sure that the cash is flowing to allow you to do what you want to do. And that's not just simply about pounds in and pounds out. It's about other things like understanding around volume of customers. It's about understanding implications around supply chain, volumes and delivery and timings, etc. If you're not keen on data, you probably shouldn't be starting a business, unless we go back to number four and make sure you know that within your team there is somebody that will do this for you. And you know, in most businesses, that would, or most established businesses, large businesses, that would absolutely fall on the door of the finance director. But when you're in a smaller business, that's probably going to be in the founder, or certainly the founding team, that one of them will be the numbers guy.
And this this nicely overlaps with my next point, and it's amazing. It's almost like we planned this.
I mean, didn't, honestly.
Yeah. Actually, we didn't. So my next point is, okay, you know your numbers, you have to understand and the economics of your business, but also you need to understand your own personal economics. And this is actually something that, you know, one of the friends of ours, virtual CFO, Raymond Wright, keeps banging on about, is that you have to understand what it is you want from your business, right? You are working in the business for a period of time, but that business is working for you. So what are your plans? If you're young, is this a business that you want to use to build money so that you can have kids, buy a house, et cetera, et cetera? If you have kids already, you know, what is it that you need to get out of the business or for yourself to survive? Too often that you see entrepreneurs will just sell everything and put everything into the business, right? Which is great. And I know a few people who've done that very successfully, but I also know a lot more people who've done that and failed miserably. And they haven't really thought about their own personal life, what they actually want to get out that business for themselves. But also, you know, there's a point in time you need to stop, right? If you're, I said this on another podcast, and my friend had listened to that podcast, and he called me up and said, I heard you reference me, even though I hadn't referenced him. But it, you know, and I still use this example, you know, he's a guy who sold his couch, you know, that was it. He got to the point in time that the only thing left in his house that he could sell was his couch. And he carried on the business, and you know, that was great. And ultimately he came out of all of that and is doing well now. But it's, you know, there was a point in time that I said to him, mate, you really need to stop now. Like, where do you go from here? The next thing is to sell the apartment, and then you're homeless. And then it makes no sense. Right. And so, you know, but in a way it does kind of focus your mind, but you shouldn't have to get to that stage. Right. It's not something that you should need to do. And I think it's, if you are aiming for that, that's the wrong way.
And that's interesting. That leads us to some extent back to number two. Choose the business that's right for you. And that's about understanding your position in this and the risk that you're willing to take. And at what point you're right and you say enough is enough, it's time I step away. That was always a big barrier for me, because, well, fortunately, I managed to get into a relatively comfortable personal position relatively early on. And it always felt like the risk of giving that up to start out and maybe lose everything I had was a great big risk. And it was, you know, circumstances, dear chap. It was circumstances that put me in a position where I eventually said, well, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. Let's give it a go. And I don't regret that for a minute. Sure, things might have turned out very differently. Arguably, I may be better off now. But I wouldn't be holistically better off, because it was the most rewarding thing that I've ever done. One of the most stressful things, that gave me more sleepless nights. But ultimately, when I lie in my deathbed, I will not be saying, I wish I had never, ever gone off and set up a business set up a business from scratch, from a white sheet of paper. I will look back and say that was one of the things I'm most proud of, that I enjoyed most of my life. And my final thing that I would want to throw in, is to understand that there is no entitlement in this. You are not entitled to anything at all. You will get what you deserve. And that particularly relates to investment and financial support. The number of people that I've worked with have said, but there's investors out there who should give me the money to go and do this. Almost as though they are entitled to somebody else funding their dream and their ambition. And the bottom line on that is, the reason there are investors out there is because they're really good at working out what are the good ideas that will give them a return on their investment, and what are the not so good ideas that may lose their money. And you need to recognize, as part of that entitlement as well, that this is such an unbelievably competitive sphere to be in. When it comes for any kind of financial support, be it equity investment, be it debt funding from a bank, be it grant funding from a body, there are more people asking than there are resources available to give. So if you don't have a really solid idea that will resonate with customers, a business that fits with you, if you don't understand clearly why it is you're doing this, if you're not ready to bring in a team around you to build up those gaps, if you haven't got a plan that you can buy into that includes real valid numbers that are insightful, then you're simply not going to make it. But if you do, there's a really, really strong chance that you can succeed. Because lots of people do. And the only reason you would ever go into starting a business is because you believe this is going to succeed.
And I think what I'll add to that is that, you know, everything plays out in your own head, right? So what you believe is amazing may not be what other people believe is amazing. So what your job is to ensure that everyone around you understands what your vision is and how it is a benefit to those people, that whether they're working for you, investing in you, supporting you with services or whatever it is, they need to believe in the same thing that you're believing in, right?
Yeah.
And that's the only way that you're going to get convinced people to come on board. So my last thing is actually more on a personal note, really, or less of a business style thing that I would like to have known is that it can be, starting a business can be very lonely and entirely time all consuming, right? So it's both everything that you do in a day, but also can be feel very lonely when you're doing it, because you know you are the first, you are the person out there on the edge, trying to get things working. You're trying to pull together different areas, whether it's finance, marketing, sales, whatever it is. And really all the pressure's on you. And as you start hiring people, that pressure increases simply because you've got more mouths to feed, right? And you've got the pressure of keeping that thing afloat and maintaining the vision and trying to do 100 different things at the same time. So, you know, the advice there really is find a mentor, get into the different groups. There's enough organizations out there that can help you. And I found it very useful. I mean, I became a member of the IOD 99 and, you know, going to some of those events and I met some great people there and still, you know, very much in contact with them. And it was funny because you'd have a conversation, then you start realizing that everyone is going through exactly the same thing. And that's when you realize, okay, you're not alone. Everyone's suffering the same problems. And then when you talk about it, makes it easier to deal with, right? It makes it easier to find new solutions to the things that you're going through. Because ultimately, whatever you're doing at any point in time, someone else has done before. And they'll be able to give you a perspective on it that you won't necessarily have.
And that changes back as well to, you don't know everything. And there are people out there that are ready to help. You've just got to go and find them.
Find networks and find mentors. So out of all of these, I mean, obviously this is what we've been talking about, the things that we should have known before starting a business. Is there anything on this list that, you know, for you from a personal level would have liked to have known?
Not so much on this, but somebody mentioned there that actually doing this would be so personally rewarding that actually, if I hadn't done it, I would have regretted it my entire life. So a little bit, I went to live in Australia for a while and came back to Scotland. And some might say, do either you regret going to Australia or regret coming home? And the answer to both is absolutely not, because I did it. So I know that I've done it and I know why I am, why I am where I am right now. And it's the same with starting a business. If I'd never done it, I would have lain in my deathbed thinking, I wish I had done that. So for me, really, it just comes down to that this, if it's right for you, number two, you've chosen the right business, you're doing it for the right reasons, this will be one of the most rewarding things you ever do in your life.
I'm going to give you my thoughts. What I've realized is that actually I can add a number 10 to our list, which is, as you say, it's rewarding, can be fun, it's very scary, but also very risky.
Yep.
And I think the risk element is something that not necessarily everyone has really bought into, right? Because you can risk a lot by doing this, because you're exposing yourself to many different things. And so if you're not a person that's prepared to take risk, then, or you're very against risk, then this may not be the thing that you want to do, because you are going to make decisions that, you know, squeaky bum time, you're going to have a lot of those, right?
Yeah.
And so I think you need to make sure that you're comfortable with that. So I'm going to just say now, it can be fun, but scary, and be prepared to take risks.
You know, it's interesting, that number 10 there, doesn't that sum up so much of what we do in life?
Mm.
The things that we really enjoy. You know, I love my skiing. Yeah, it's great fun, but oh my Lord, it can be terrifying. And sometimes you've just got to commit for it and go for it. Sometimes you end up in a ball of snow at the bottom of the piece. Other times you ski outdoor, and that was amazing. But as long as you don't die, you come back the next day and carry on.
As long as you can walk away from it, right? Well, yeah. Excellent. So I think this has been great. I think for anyone who's looking to start a business, this is a very long list of practical things you need to know. And of course, if you have any other further questions, then feel free to reach out to myself. So you can find me at atomcto.com. I've got the Atom Ventures podcast, which you can find on SoundCloud and all the other great podcasting sites. And Alan, how do people find you?
You will find me at tvgp.co.uk is my website. And you'll find me on LinkedIn, or you'll get my email off the website as well.
And if you like what you hear, please don't forget to share and subscribe to our podcast, the Real World Entrepreneurship Podcast. You'll find us at realworldentrepreneur.co and on every good podcast platform.
Super.
Thanks.
Well, that's all for this episode. Look forward to seeing you next time.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye.